Welcome back, everybody. This is Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian. I happen to be Brian. That happens to be Luke over there.
It depends what day it is.
It's true. Today we know what day it is. It is Thursday.
Yeah.
It's also the day that, hooray Ukraine invasion. That is a defense of this place that you're invading. I think he's getting ahead of himself, but either way, we're talking Ukraine and Russia, the Russian invasion. On 101 FM, The Shaw, and 540 AM WAUK in Waukesha. That's where I'm hanging out, in the Waukesha studios in lovely downtown Waukesha. And Luke is hanging out in the Solidarity Realty studios, broadcasting out on 1580 AM, as well as 92.7 FM Devil Radio out of Madison.
Yeah, absolutely. And if you want to follow this show, you can follow us on Twitter at Dueling Tangents. You can follow the stations at Devil Radio 927 and at WAUK Radio on Twitter and Facebook as well. But Brian, yeah, we're talking Ukrainian, the invasion of Ukraine by Russia.
Yeah.
And
Ukraine is a large place. It also has a ridiculous amount of resources. It's a wealthy country.
Yeah, honestly, if
I were picking places to go and invade and take and have all the resources for, if I'm playing a world domination game, yeah, sure, let's go take the Ukraine, man.
It's a bold strategy. It's a bold, bold strategy, Brian, because that's the one thing that we as Americans are really bad about. World geography.
Having any idea.
We're
so out of it. We're the only ones using the British system of measurement. Even the British are on the metric system. We're the only ones not on the... Even the Russians are on the frickin' metric system. That's how isolated we are as culturally. It's...
Yeah. Yeah.
So a little information here. The Russian people... They've been dealing with crap forever. If you've read any Russian philosophy, it's not cheery.
No.
It's not
pretty gloomy.
It's not it's existence. There's a lot of vodka involved. And if you've ever watched any, go try and read some or watch any version of Anton Chekhov. If you want to access it, one of the best accesses of it is Vanya on 42nd Street. It's got Wallace Shawn and a whole bunch of really good actors involved. Vanya on 42nd Street, it's really accessible. But the point is that there are people whose entire lives are falling apart around them. The Russian aristocracy is getting taken over. And, people are, worried about what color the wallpaper is and stuff like that. And it's a comedy because... it's all going to be the end, and these people care about little stupid things. It's not very bright, but that's comedy. The Russian people, when the communist revolution took over, it was because the Russian people were like just the peasantry. They were still using the feudal system. In the Industrial Revolution, they were still using the feudal system. They're oligarchs. They're the czars there. Were basically installed from Europe. They're basically everybody in Europe at the time had a Habsburg leader. Basically, mm-hmm. the leader, the czar of Russia was the same. Looked almost exactly the same as the King of England.
Yeah.
So at the time, the Russian aristocracy. You talk about Anastasia and all that stuff. The aristocracy had such disdain for the Russian people as a people, they didn't even speak Russian. It was more desirous to speak French than Russian in the upper circles of Russia. This is how much disdain for their own people the ruling class had. And then we don't have to really... I mean, do I have to go into the details of what Stalin did afterwards? After the Bolshevik Revolution and everything? I mean, the guy completely decimated it. Like, oh, great, we have the People's Revolution. The people have won. We kicked out the people who only speak French and not Russian because they hate us so much. Oh, wait, we won. Oh, wait, you're killing us too because we're... everybody's dead. And it's not communism. That's freaking economics. It's authoritarian dictatorship.
Mm-hmm.
It's people that would rather have anybody who's different than them silenced or dead. It's those people. Those are the ones who have, and after that, okay, finally, you finally break it up. You finally get to a point where Reagan comes in and goes, hey, all right, maybe we'll move towards democracy, and you have some glasnost and everything, and some countries get given back, and maybe some other people happen, and you get the Eastern Bloc comes back, and mm-hmm. actually things are starting to thrive.
Yeah.
Ukraine's doing really well, and who was the one who wrecked the Russian glasnost? It was Putin.
Yeah.
So my point is that the Russian people, you can sanction them all you want, but they have dealt with crap forever. And yeah. they'll continue to deal with crap, apparently, because I guess they seem like their only right is to go and be ruled over by some overlord. I don't know if they know anything different.
That's at least the only system that's been in place. I don't know if the brief period in the 90s was a long enough period for them to attempt a liberal democracy.
No. They were got still, some extra right, blue jeans.
It was still the remnants of the Soviet Union and Putin. And,
I mean,
I brushed over
100 years of history. And
right,
just like,
I was just saying,
yeah,
very fast,
seconds.
Very, very great. But you're not woke if you don't know history, Brian, as our friend Matt Flynn Direct likes
true.
To say. So, the amount of people here in America that are saying, well, why does this matter? Why should I care about what's going on in Ukraine? Like, why does it matter at all? And I think one of the things is to put it into perspective is how big of a country Ukraine is.
Yeah.
Because it's about bigger than just a little bit bigger than Texas, I believe. It's roughly the size of Texas, which is a large land area. If you slapped it over the U.S., the easternmost portion of Ukraine would be around New York City, and it would stretch all the way to Chicago. Like, we're talking like a good landmass size mm-hmm. of a country in Europe. But also, it's not
mineral rich.
Yes, it's essentially the breadbasket and all the raw natural resources in Europe as well. The Ural Mountains is very rich, fertile land there north of the Black Sea. And so it's the like a population of over 40 million. It's the second largest land country in Europe, Brian. And it is in the top 10 for so many like coal, titanium, manganese, like agriculture exports. It's one of the largest wheat. It's got all like it's huge, and it's a massive country.
If you need it, Ukraine's got it.
Yes. It's got the capabilities to feed the food needs of 600 million people alone in its country, and it's a country of 40 million. So like
it's also the land bridge from east to west.
It is.
It's the stopgap.
Yes. And so it's like acting like this doesn't matter and letting Putin do whatever he wants to do to try to resurrect the former Soviet Union is just a nonsensical point to take, because if you really believe like you wrap yourself up in Star Spangled Banner and freedom is so great for us, and then when an authoritarian like Putin is knocking on the door of a country that's trying to be like America in that regard, a liberal democracy, it is trying to implement a form of government similar to ours, and if you don't have sympathy for a country that is trying to fight off a dictatorship and follow down the path that we say is the greatest form of government in the world, I don't know what to tell you guys. Like that's important.
Well, we don't have a history of doing that. I mean, look at Vietnam. We chose the wrong. We chose the colonialists, and we are literally anti-colonialists. Oh wait, no, are we? No, we're not. Mm. Wait, we yeah. used to. We at our inception. But then now that we can be colonialists, it's a lot more fun to be. Wait, now it's not a good thing because we hate other people for doing it. But then we do.
Yeah,
I'm lost.
I'm not saying
what's
that,
our foreign
I'm
policy.
I'm not saying that America is perfect and that absolutely the history of us being I wouldn't say colonial anymore. It's more of American imperialism, but it is definitely a past that needs to be corrected. And when we go forth. Like you can only improve where we are now by trying to be better, and acting like this doesn't matter, and just letting Putin do whatever he wants in Eastern Europe because it's so far away. That is not being better, Brian.
Well,
it's just not.
Let's see if anyone else has any better ideas than maybe we do. Let's go to our buddy Jack in Merrimack. How you doing, Jack?
Just peachy keen as usual. I'm wondering where the Republicans are on all of this. Because I've heard nothing from them. I mean, this is the patriotic party of the United States. Where are they? They should at least be saying, good, Biden, sock it to them. And if they say, but it's not enough, that's fine with me. Then come up with a good suggestion on what do you think should happen besides.
Yeah.
But they're just completely silent. They anything that Biden does, they don't want anything to do with, because that'll give him some credence with their minions, I think.
Freedom! Yep. Way to go, Freedom.
Yeah, it's definitely it's Adam Kinzinger, I believe, is the only Republican, and I believe Liz Cheney had some kind of thing saying that Putin must pay, but outside of that, like, I have not seen a whole lot of Republican response, Brian.
Yeah, but you got to remember how many of them are, you know, backed by, I don't know, weapons manufacturers.
Yeah, that.
Oh, wait, all of the entirety of Congress is,
and
but anyway.
It's, yeah, you got the Russian money that was laundered through the NRA, I mean, too, and a lot of them.
Don't think of all the destruction of democracy or the worry of the people or anything like that. Let's just worry about, you know, let's worry about the weapons manufacturers, because that'll get our economy going again. Wait, it already is going, but we'll get it going more, right?
No, I hear that Biden's the worst president ever, and the economy's awful right now.
Oh, it is. That's right.
It's awful. It's
because he's weak. By the way, you know what you would do, or I would we should be doing? But Biden is weak, and the election was stolen.
Those aren't actually policy platforms.
Biden is weak. Election was stolen.
But Brian,
Biden is weak. Election stolen.
What are your thoughts on
Biden weak?
What we could do policy wise, though.
Biden is weak.
Oh, okay. Interesting.
That's all I got.
All right. We're going back to the phone lines, folks. This is Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian. You can give us a call. 844-967-2789. Up next, we got David and Mequon. David, what's on your mind today?
Hey, guys. I actually agree with you, Brian, with what you said in regards to the sanctions. And the reason being, if you remember, back in 2014, we did sanctions against Russia with Putin when they invaded Crimea. And in this case, the sanctions, if he was really going to do sanctions, he should have done it a month ago, because he said in today on the air that it's going to take a month to see if this is going to work. The thing is, it's at this point, China is pretty much cozied up with Putin. And so even
they kind of don't have a choice, though.
What's that?
They kind of don't have a choice. They have to have at least some sort of working relationship with Russia, or else that's even worse. It's not like like we can have a little bristling relationship with Russia, because it's really our allies that are in the way of them, technically. But Russia and China have to have a relationship, whether they want to or not.
Well, and to your point, I think I look at China and Russia as the Japan and Germany of the 21st century, to be honest with you, because China has definitely got different ideas as to how they feel the world should be. And one of the ways to do that is by getting rid of a superpower. That's being us. If they are successful, then those two particular countries will get to rule the world.
Well, yeah, that's kind of how it works, and the way it is working right now is by having people that are, you know, cheering for the Russian invasion, or people who are saying that, you know, hooray for this. I don't understand the people who are cheering it on, and it's bad for all of us. And I don't necessarily think that I think, and thank you for your call, David. I appreciate it. I appreciate your thoughtfulness every time. It's more than what a lot of people do. I appreciate that. But China, I think, is doing a different thing. China has invested things in infrastructure rather than war. They've done things like, let's make our people happier, or at least more educated. They've educated their entire people. Again, the way they're doing it, they did infrastructure really quickly. You know how? They moved all the people out of the way, because they have a government that can do that.
Authoritarianism, you can do things like that. And they are not like the Soviet Union in the fact that they are using capitalism as a means to achieve it. So China's is scary on that front too. But folks, this is Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian. We've got one more segment left in the day. Still enough time for your call. 844-967-2789.